This is Brad Bloom with Faith and Fitness Magazine. I'm excited to be able to speak today with Mark Hancock of Trail Life USA. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Brad. It's great to be with you.
Mark, I understand you did advertising straight out of college for a good long time, good 15 years at least. And then in 1983, you found Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've gotten a couple of master degrees, one in mental health and one in counseling psychology. You've done some pastoring. You've taught at several university or two. And then at some point you started Trail Life, or started with a group of people doing Trail Life USA, correct?
Yeah, in 2013, when it seemed like the Boy Scouts was headed in a direction that a lot of churches weren't able to stay with them, the need came up, and about 300 volunteers across the country started talking about an alternative, a Christ-centered, boy-focused alternative to the Boy Scouts, and that's what Trail Life was birthed out of.
Well, great. You know, Faith and Fitness Magazine is all about helping people to connect their Christian faith with an active lifestyle, and so I've actually known of Trail Life USA for many years, and I'm really pleased to be able to learn and share with our readers more about just what it is and how it helps boys be both active and growing in their Christian faith. I want to begin by asking you, Mark, often when people think of fitness, they visualize men in the gym hitting the weights hard. Certainly, it's a lot more than that, but the characterization of guys getting physical, sweaty, and fellowshipping in that type of camaraderie is extremely accurate for what works well for men. Can you recount an example you've seen in Trail Life USA where that's been illustrated well, and what was the impact?
Yeah, absolutely. My gosh, there's so many, but I think that you can recognize in our culture today that there's this leaning towards saying that there's nothing different between boys and girls. In fact, it's politically incorrect now to say that boys and girls are different, but we happen to believe that boys and girls are different. And you see that in the ways that they respond with each other. You know, boys are developmentally different than girls. Obviously, there's a physical difference, biological differences. There's a way that they socialize different. And it's not a social construct. It's real and it's there. And so particularly single moms in our culture today are having trouble raising their boys because without that male influence, and we're starting to see the effects of that. You know, boys are now twice as likely to be declared special education, three times more likely to have ADHD. They're behind girls in every single academic category. So we love when we see things like, I'm thinking about a family in North Carolina where suddenly the father was out of the home, terrible set of circumstances, and left the mother, who had been basically the homemaker, with five kids, four boys and a girl. And she cried out to God. She was thinking, what am I going to do with these four boys without the influence of their father, because she had had a taste of that, of having the father in the household. What am I going to do about that? And a Trail Life troop stepped up and said, you know, we want to help you. And a family stepped in and bought their uniforms for them and their handbooks and everything they needed. And I'm thinking of the older boy, who I think was 15 years old. So he joins this troop, and they immediately take him out on an extended hike. And he told his mother, he said, Mom, the first day I thought I was going to die. And the second day, I barely made it, you know, to campus. They're doing this extensive 50-mile hike or something. He says, the third day, I was sure that they were just going to have to leave me behind. And the fourth day, I saw the peak. He says, Mom, on the fifth day, I stood on the peak of that mountain, and I realized that I can do hard things. Now, I'm telling you, that's pure gold to a single mom who's walking her sons through hard things, for her to know that her son overcame some things, because so many times we interrupt the process of difficulties in our society today, particularly for kids, and we rescue them rather than let them experience the challenges, the kind of things that you're talking about, the working hard, the sweating, the dirt of engaged, rough living life. And those sorts of lessons that the boys develop in the outdoors is exactly what creates the types of winning and focused men who we can point to in our culture who have done amazing things over the years. You know, women have their strengths too, oh my gosh. But the fact that men and women are different, and boys or girls are different and can help each other in those differences. So we celebrate those strengths and the things that they respond to differently. That's really what makes a society strong. So we're thankful for the opportunity to reach out to these boys without dads. We're thankful for the opportunity to help dads figure out how to manage the outdoors. When you join a troop, you got a group of men who are going to help you to manage the outdoors, and just creating great opportunities for boys.
How did Trail Life USA begin, and how has it evolved since then?
Well, in 2013, about 300 volunteers across the country started to collaborate through online things like LinkedIn forums and different forums to talk about the idea of providing an alternative that for people who were leaving the Boy Scouts of America to get back to a Christ-centered, family-focused type of organization. And 50 of us met in Louisville, Kentucky in 2013, and out of that developed a 9-man steering committee, which 68 days later in Nashville, Tennessee, we held a national convention, an all-girl convention, had 1,100 men and 100 women come from 44 different states, and we'd launched in a weekend the logo, the handbook, the design of the program. Governor Mike Huckabee was our keynoter. And then 3 months later, we had our official launch on January 1st, 2014. We had 10,000 members on our first day. And since then, we've grown. We're in all 50 states. We have over 30,000 members. We're in about 840 troops, churches. Our troops function primarily out of churches across the country. And so every day, new troops are starting, and men and boys are joining the Trail Life USA journey.
Sounds like it actually began relatively quickly. You know, it wasn't a long, slow process. It all came together pretty well and has developed strongly since then.
It was a rocket ship, you know, at the beginning. We started with nothing. And like I said, how many people start with 10,000 members on their first day? And it's just grown since then. We have our headquarters, 127-acre facility just outside of Greenville, South Carolina, and an administrative complex here. And we have, as I said, in all 50 states, we have troops that are meeting regularly.
I'm curious, is it membership exclusively limited to churches starting it, or could conceivably a Christian gym or Christian nonprofit bring one to their community?
Well, that's a great question. Primarily, we're churches. About 99% of our charter partners are churches, but we do have like Christian homeschool groups of charter troops. We have a Christian gun club in Texas that charters a troop. They have to have a Christian statement of faith, and they have to be a legal entity. And there's two things we're looking at. One, we don't want to get in the trouble that the Boy Scouts got into. So we secure our religious freedoms by who our charter organizations are. And the charter organizations own that troop. So they must be a formal legal entity with a specifically Christian statement of faith, and also agree with our statement of values, which does things like defines what marriage is and defines what purity is and talks about those sorts of things. So we're somewhat restrictive. Our statement of faith is typical Trinitarian statement of faith, but not just any organization can start. They have to have a statement of faith that is in aligns with ours.
Sure. All right. Well, I want to dig into something that, as I've been, you know, more recently been looking at Trail Life, that really stood out to me, particularly because it's just really consistent with a lot of the sort of the attitude and approach of Faith and Fitness magazine. And that is, I really like the let boys be boys spirit that you promote. That's obviously a saying, something that isn't new to, you know, people have heard that for years now, although in today's culture, I suspect many may insist it's out of date or inappropriate. But I'd like for you to dig into what it means for Trail Life and how you help both boys and men to interpret it, tempered with a Christian perspective.
Well, again, because there's two things that make us really unique in terms of a youth-serving organization. One is that we are Christ-centered, unapologetically Christian. The second is that we're boy-focused. We believe, again, that boys and girls are different and that it's critical to provide for boys and girls an organization that reaches out to their particular strengths and is designed for them. And again, it falls to that thing, you know, we think of boys as kind of the canaries in the coal mine of this culture that we're in. You know, when, remember, they would put the canaries in the old coal mines, and they would die if because the noxious fumes would take them out. And we see the boys suffering really in society today, and the suicide rates, the dropout rates. There's more girls going to college, more girls graduating from college, more girls with master's degrees, more girls with doctoral degrees. Boys are really taking a beating in our culture today. It's like boyhood is some sort of social disease that needs to be eradicated. And we just think that organization like Trail Life is important because it's reaffirming the wonder of boys. Now, they're a challenge, you know, because they don't fall right in line with sit still, be quiet, and pay attention. That environment is really built for girls. But boys enjoy an environment that has risk and competition involved. And of course, we're missing a lot in that in our society today, and everybody gets a trophy kind of culture. The boys are lacking in that risk and competition. You know, we wonder why they're playing video games. Well, they're playing video games because they can take risks there. They get points, they get levels, they progress. It's hierarchical. It shows how good they are compared to somebody else. And so they rush, they love, and they embrace that environment because in real life, they don't get many opportunities to really try their best and to be the winner. And so we're taking advantage of that drive in boys to say, hey, here's a robust awards program for you. You can earn all sorts of medals and prizes. We have trail badges that they earn, and so we're taking advantage of the boys are driven by risk and competition. They're driven by motion. They need to be able to move. Boys know that intuitively. You look in a classroom and boys are fidgeting. Well, they know that they've got to move in order to learn. And scientists tell us that. One of the leading medical scientists at Harvard says boys have to move in order for their brain to be engaged. Well, we sit them in school and tell them to sit still and be quiet. So in Trail Life, we recognize that boys need that kind of movement. And that's why they're engaging so strongly in Trail Life, because they're finding in this outdoor world the same sort of challenges and opportunities that they found in that virtual world in the video games. And so a lot of young boys are waking up to the outdoors and waking up to their strengths and trying hard at something and being successful. Because ultimately, Brad, you know as well as I do that it's the things that we may have failed at that really help to perfect us and to teach us. You know,
sure.
You got to try harder. You got to go back at this. But you know, I like to say that we're creating a generation of unproductive narcissists. You know. They're unproductive because we haven't asked them to do anything, and they're narcissists because they haven't had a chance to fail. And so you look at that in our generation where boys, this failure to launch thing, they suddenly graduate from college or whatever, and they don't know what to do when they fail the first time because they haven't had a chance to know that you can recover from failure. You get up, you brush yourself off, and you go back and you learn from it and you try harder. And those are the powerful lessons that boys are learning in Trail Life USA.
So, and again, I want to ask that second part of that question. Thank you for that. That was really good to dig deeper into that. People might respond, oh, let boys be boys. That's just giving them license to be reckless, rambunctious, et cetera, et cetera. How do you temper that with a Christian perspective or help the boy to understand what it means to do that by embracing their faith?
Well, certainly, when they are around Christian men and they are around men of character who are leading them, then they find out how to manage that sort of nature that they have. You know, and God's given us this amazing sort of balance on the inside of boys. And boys are looking for three things. That they're asking: who's with me, who's in charge, and what is our mission? And so if you can answer those three questions for boys, then you've got them. In Trail Life USA, we do that real clearly. Who's in charge? Well, you're in a patrol. There's a leader of that patrol. Maybe another boy is a little older than you are. Maybe you elected him to be the leader of your patrol or whatever. And then there's the adult leaders of that troop too. And you learn to come in line with that kind of leadership, so you know clearly who's in charge. And you know what your mission is. You know, we're going to hike 5 miles today. Or we're going to plan a fundraiser. Or we're going to plan a service project. You know what your mission is. And you know who's with you. Because he wears the same uniform. He's in your patrol. He has the same call for the name of patrol, however that patrol is distinguished. So we answer these three questions for boys. And in society, where those who does a really good job of answering that question is gangs. They know who's in charge, they know who's with them, and they know what their mission is. And when you can make that clear for boys, you've got their hearts and you've got them engaged. Gangs have proved that to us. They're really good at this. And so we're duplicating those sort of successful things and engaging boys in positive things and in good direction. They're going to lean towards relationships that answer those three questions. And so we create them in a Christ-centered environment so that the same energy that they would pour into something that might be harmful to society or harmful to themselves, they can pour that energy that's a God-given energy, they can pour that into something that's Christ-honoring and that helps them to grow in character.
You're doing that a lot by getting them outside. And I want to just ask you, let's talk about getting dirty. Just how filthy can these boys and their leaders get? And what are the learning lessons from those experiences?
Well, I wish I can answer how dirty they get, but every time I think I've got it, I see a boy who's gotten dirtier. So, you know, the outdoors is an amazing place to learn. And of course, that's where, you know, God shows off kind of in the outdoors, showing us who he is. But I know in my own family, my wife would tell you, when the boys come home from their camping trips, you know, they're almost proud of how dirty they are and how much they smell. You know, you take those clothes off outside, but you know what? Moms love that because they know that boy's been outside and he's been playing hard, and that's really a good thing. So there's just something about that connection for boys outside and where those restrictions are kind of taken off. Where you don't have to, you know, all week it's sit still, be quiet, pay attention, follow the rules, stay in place. And certainly there's rules in the outdoors, but it's relaxed, you know, a little bit in that it's okay to get dirty. It's okay to run a little bit. You know, Brian, you know what surprises me, or maybe it doesn't surprise me, but if you look at the bulleted points of what makes a boy labeled as ADHD, it's things like running when he's not supposed to or talking when it's not his turn. Well, that's me a lot of the time, and certainly that's what boys are. Well, in Trail Life USA and in the outdoors and that patrol kind of setting when it's all the guys out there, those sort of things are relaxed, and it's okay to talk over somebody else, and it's okay to be a little bit loud, it's okay to be messy, it's okay to get down in the dirt, and of course you have the adult supervision that's gonna draw the lines. But the lines are drawn in a different place than they are in the rest of the kind of sanitary world that the boys live in.
I'm curious, too. I'll take this even one little step further. Certainly, I'm sure you guys, you know, make the safety of the boys and the leaders, you know, paramount. But inevitably, when you're outside, you know, part of the beauty of it is eventually somebody gets a cut finger or a skinned knee or, you know, a limb smacks them in the face, something like that, while you're hiking. And I'm curious, is that almost celebrated? I mean, not that it'd be celebrated, but I mean, is there that mentality of, hey, this is part of what it's all about?
There is. We have an exhaustive health and safety guide that sets for our troops where the limits are, the things that they can participate in, and how to keep boys safe. So, and safety is one of our core values. But when we talk about safety, we talk about, you know, you're going to get bruises, you're going to get scrapes, you're going to get minor cuts. And so we're not trying to protect you from all those things, though that's going to happen in the outdoors. And, you know, that's a new thought for some boys. I remember coming home from playing, I might skin knees and cut fingers and all kinds of things. It was just dump on the Mercuricome, put on a Band-Aid and get back outside again. Well, you know, a lot of that in the sterile society is missing for boys. And so it's I wouldn't say that it's celebrated, but for some boys, it is the first time that they've actually, you know, encountered the outdoors in such a way that it caused a scrape or a bruise or a cut or something like that. And it takes off for them. I remember in the early days, somebody posted on Facebook, they said, you know, Trail Life USA taking bubble wrap off of boys since 2013. I thought that's a great line. That's true. Certainly we keep them safe, but we understand that those sort of injuries, those what we just call those minor injuries, that's part of being a boy and that's part of engaging yourself in the outdoors.
Yeah. I saw a picture on your social media here recently of boys planting flowers or vegetables in a garden with an older woman watching. I'd like you to take just a moment and talk about the impact that Trail Life has on helping boys to be others-minded.
Well, we have four primary values, and one of those values is service. And you know, when boys can learn to give to their community, they become the type of men that's carried as a habit for their whole lives. And so we have service projects at various levels in our boys' progression. There's one at about the fifth grade level. They're doing some sort of service project on a level that they can manage. And then our highest award, which is called the Freedom Award, this is a servant leadership project where they lead a group of boys and adults in doing a significant project that benefits the community. But all throughout, they're earning and they're receiving service hours. Our middle grade boys do 15 hours of service a year. Our high school age boys get to do 20 hours of service a year. And then on top of that are these type of service leadership projects, servant leadership projects. So service is stressed all throughout Trail Life USA because it's a Christian principle, and you're going to find Christ, you know, infused throughout the program, you know, from kindergarten we begin all the way up through high school, and so service is important to us. It's part of giving back to the community. It's part of the boys learning their value and doing something good for their community, and they feel good about it. So it works. Boys, you know, they get painted with this broad brush of this kind of toxic masculinity sort of thing, and it just brings great joy to their hearts when they can do something good for the community, and that helps them to kind of remove that label on themselves.
Yeah, no, that's really true. Tell me, because I've seen it, I'm sure you have too, and our readers, our listeners. We all see that, you know, men in culture, at least some of them, find ways to serve other people, and some, you know, do that because it's a Christian calling. It's part of who they are, the faith that they embrace. And for others, it's just a good thing to do. It makes sense. It's sort of being part of the neighborhood. Can you share a little bit about how you offer that perspective, that deeper faith perspective, and how does that start to light up in boys?
Oh, that's a great point. We talk about that deeper perspective as being like carrot cake. You know, if you have a piece of carrot cake, there's carrot in every bite. You don't find these big hunks of carrot that you're crunching down on, but you get carrot in every bite. And that's sort of how these ideals of service and Christ-likeness and Christ is infused throughout our program. So boys, in all of the badges that they're working on, all the programming, they're running across these ideas that are just enforcing how important these things are to them, how important these values are to our society. So it isn't sit down and we're going to tell you why service is important. It's in every bite, and it's in everything that they're encountering. It's reminding them of their place in society. You know, we have a family man badge, which just talks about the role of a dad in the family. You know, where are they going to learn that? They're certainly not being taught that at school. They're not getting it from television. Almost 50% of the households don't have a father that's modeling that for them. So we're teaching that in those badges, restoring those things of godly leadership, which includes servanthood in a household, in a workplace, everywhere they are. So it's infused in everything, and boys tend to embrace things more easily that way when they're not just kind of lectured to about a topic, but they run across it in the process of completing something else. And that's what we love about the program is they're really, you know, boys love the adventure, but parents love the character and the leadership stuff that comes along with it. But if you told the boys, hey, you know what, we're going to go work on character for a while, and they're not going to be all that interested in it. But you tell them, you know what, we're going to go bouldering today. Well, the character things that they're going to develop in the process of bouldering by helping each other out and carrying something for somebody else, or helping a weaker brother, or celebrating together, encouraging somebody who may be a little bit afraid to maybe rappel over a cliff. Those sorts of things are building character, but it's in the midst of that adventure that's so attractive to boys.
So these boys that participate in Trail Life, 100%, they all go to Christian schools, and so they just sort of talk about Jesus all day, right?
No, they don't. As a matter of fact, only our adults are required. We have a statement of faith and a statement of values that every adult must agree to. But boys of any faith or boys of no faith at all are welcome to join Trail of USA. So you're exactly right in saying I realize you're being facetious about that, but we have boys from all walks of life who their parents have placed them in the organization because they want an excellent experience with their character and their leadership. Is growing. And then, of course, we also have Christian families who are engaged because they want to be in that with like-minded people enjoying the outdoors. But we have, you know, a story of a young boy in South Carolina showed up at a troop, and he was a little bit difficult. The leaders had some trouble helping him to behave, and the troop master got a phone call from the boy's mother. She said, I need to talk to you. And he said, okay. And he said, Tommy is praying at home. And the troop master said, okay, is there a problem with that? And she said, well, we don't pray in our house. And the troop master said, well, okay. And she said, but we want to. We see the change in Tommy, and my husband and I want to learn how to pray. Can we start attending your Trail Life troop? So we know that these sorts of things are successful in leading boys and leading families into the values. And what we've discovered is that the unchurched boy joins the troop, and then that unchurched family joins that church because that troop is associated with the church. So they start hanging out there around the church with the troop, and pretty soon you see them on Sunday morning. In fact, that family I just talked about, they ended up joining that church. They all got baptized in that church, and they became active in that church just because Tommy was going to the meetings, and men took enough time to be patient with him as he was challenged and lead him through that time. So yeah, boys of no faith, boys of any faith at all are welcome, but the parents understand they're going to be exposed to, you know, Christian principles and in the process of the adventure.
So I'm going to be facetious again and go, oh my goodness, this is worse than I thought. It's not just a bunch of Christian boys being Christian, but you're also letting people who aren't Christian get in the midst of all of this, and ultimately we're going to find these boys going back to public school and being all preachy with kids that just don't want anything to do with that at all.
Yeah, wouldn't that just be terrible? You know, but I know that your topic has to do with grace and sometimes how dirty that can appear. But that's where we find God. We find God in those situations where things are an absolute mess, and His grace overcomes those things, and He's able to step in and bring order to families, order to a young boy who doesn't know where he is, order to groups of boys who have no indication from society at all of what their future is going to look like because they're convinced that there's something wrong with them, that they're toxic, that they're broken, that boyhood is some sort of social disease that needs to be eradicated. And we're restoring this idea of healthy boyhood that grows into healthy manhood.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this. You and I were talking a little earlier. There's a national backyard campout. What is that?
Well, April 17th, we're inviting all families to join our Trail Life families and camping in their backyard on April 17th. You know, in the midst of this pandemic, we know that people are itching to connect. So we're going to have a virtual national campout, and we'll have things that they can report in. We have a website that they can go visit. It's at traillifeusa.com/backyardcampout. There's all sorts of resources there for them to use. And then the night of the campout, we'll be having live video broadcasts from all over the country as trailmen and as non-trailmen are checking in and saying that they're camping in the backyard.
Well, cool. And that's just dads or men and boys, or is this the whole family or what?
Well, ordinarily we're specifically male, and
uh-huh.
And so most of the time in the troops it's fathers and sons or boys without dads who are attending, but for this we understand that you know we're stretching it and say, hey, take the whole family out. It's not normally part of our mission. We think there's
sure.
great organizations that do family camping, but we're not a family camping organization. We think that discounts the attention that we're putting on boys. But for this event, the National Backyard Campout, we're encouraging the whole family to go in their backyard and camp.
Well, that sounds like fun. And they don't have to have a tent. They can do whatever, eh?
Yeah, they can figure it out themselves. There's going to be all kinds of resources as that website grows, where they can find out. We're partnering with a few suppliers who will help and give advice on what the family needs for the camp out if they don't have equipment. And so you can find lots of information there.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I want to just finish up here by asking for you to just give me one more story of the father-son relationship, and maybe it's a boy-mentor relationship. Describe that whole experience and what it's like, and I'm particularly curious, do you see that the boys not only become physically fit, but spiritually fit as well?
Yeah, let me try to answer. The first story that comes to mind is I remember visiting an area gathering, and they'll have gatherings where a number of troops will come together for a weekend. I remember being at that gathering. I got asked to speak there, and a father pulled me aside. He says, "Listen, I need to thank you for Trail Life." And I said, "Tell me about it." He said, "Well, I was walking today from one event to another with my 11-year-old son. We were just walking through the woods, and he said, and he reached up and he held my hand." And I said, "Okay, well, that's interesting." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "My son and I haven't had much of a relationship, and I thought those days were over," of him looking up to me. But he says, "This is our first time camping together, and here we are in the outdoors, just he and I, with this group of boys and men." And he says, "I just had the world has just opened up for me in hope of the type of relationship that I can still build with my son." Man, that is just beautiful. That's
Yeah,
just
for sure.
beautiful. I remember walking around a pond, and I came across at our camp, our home office grounds here. There's a couple fishing ponds, and there was a trailman fishing there, and he stopped me and he said, "Hey, you see that man over there?" And he pointed across the pond, and I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You see that little boy?" And I looked, and I saw the man. He was down on one knee, and he was baiting a little boy's hook. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "That man's my son." I said, "That's wonderful." He said, "And that's my grandson." I said, "That's beautiful." He said, "No, you don't understand. My son and I haven't talked in years, but here we are together in Trail Life USA, and I'm spending time with my son and my grandson in the outdoors that never would have happened." And I just think that that's a great opportunity. Men have a difficult time face to face sometimes dealing with conflict or difficult issues with each other. But you put them side by side and you give them something to do, whether it's sitting around a campfire or whether it's walking along a hike, and it takes the pressure off of that engagement and lets them begin to kind of play together before they start growing back together. And I just see that happening over and over again. I'm just so encouraged by that, the dynamic that happens in the outdoors where men can walk side by side and it begins to build their relationship one way and another.
Well, that's awesome. I've been speaking today with Mark Hancock. You can find more about Trail Life at traillifeusa.com. Mark, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Brian. God bless you.